Good Christmas Eve. I don't even know why I bring this up here, because it's just... Okay, and then I'm going to carry it most of the time. But how awesome. Thanks, kids. It was amazing. And one thing that stuck out to me was the joy part, like the joy to the world. Like, we have a message of joy. Like, yay, you know, like, this is a good thing. You know, I bring you good tidings. Wait, good tidings of great joy, right? Great. Us, and I really hope that we like get into that, because if we're not feeling joyful, and sometimes it's indicative that we're not like really experiencing the maximum potential of what he's done for us, and it's just so good. So I'm just gonna make this a really quick sermon. The kids are here, just gonna hang out, and maybe like 5, 6, 7 minutes or so. And if you know me up here, you'll pray for me.
<That's a miracle.
laughs> Yeah. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. You want to help me pray? Okay. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for the Christmas story that you sent your son in order to get your sons back. That this was not just a spectacle for us to see, but it was a spectacle, an amazing thing for us to partake in, which is the sonship and that access to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. No one could come to the Father, not just heaven, but to the Father except through me. So, Lord, we join in, and we just join in that invitation. We accept it, and we rejoice in it this morning, Lord, and we walk forward in it, Lord, in sonship, in Jesus' name. Just bless this message. So, today is really simple. I just want to break down Galatians 4. So, if you have your Bible, why don't we open there. Galatians 4. And I believe it starts with verse 4. And I just love this story. There's so many times in the Bible when he breaks down the Christmas story, really every day. Hannah's always asking me, what's your favorite holiday? And I said, I think Christmas. And she was like, isn't this amazing? I'm like, yeah, but sweetie, it's like Christmas to me every day. It's just, it's amazing because we get this gift and we get to live in it every single day of the year. So Galatians 4, it starts like this. But when the fullness of time had come, who knows that God is an amazing planner? When he plans something and he says he establishes something, he establishes his word, it's going to come true. It's amazing. So when the fullness of time had come, so the same God that created time, he made this thing called time, he set the earth, he hung the earth in the heavens, he put it into motion, he placed the stars there, created the universe. He put everything in place, and the same God who did this, he knew exactly the plan that he had from the foundation of the world, from the beginning of time. It says that Jesus is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So if you want to go to the beginning, you don't actually just go to Genesis 1, you go to Jesus, because it's all through the cross, that he established his lamb as the Lamb of God. His son is a Lamb of God, slain for us before the foundations of the world. And so then he set up these stars. And has anyone ever seen the documentary called Star of Bethlehem? It's amazing. If you haven't seen it, like, check it out. It's so good. And it's this guy who uses amazing technology to find out what the stars did, because it's all math. It's all mathematics, and they all have this, you know, their orbits, and they have placements, and they move, and sometimes they, you know, they cross, and there are signs in the stars. It's just been like that since the beginning of time. And this star, Bethlehem, this guy saw this, and he was like, wow, like, I have a loud voice. It really doesn't matter. Because of the loud voice and the stars, because of the mathematics, right? He had to have planned this from like the very second that it all started, right? So that for that star to orbit that way and to come over Bethlehem the way it did, it had to follow a certain orbit for a certain amount of time. And he planned this from the beginning. And it's just so big. It's just so great. It just speaks to his majesty and how good he is. And when he plans something, he makes it come true. So, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. It's dramatized. It's the dramatized version of this message. God sent forth his son. Boom! Yeah, he did, man. He dropped his son in there. It was amazing. So he sent forth his son. Hannah and I always talk about this too, right, Hannah? Like, we talk about when God sent his son, what did it look like? What would it look like? Would he send, like, parades, the choirs? Would the trumpet sound? He's here, right? The shofar. Like, get ready for the kingly, you know, dude to come and put good stuff, amazing thing. Like, make the world know it, like, that very second. He didn't, right? He sent him as a little baby, and not even of, like, you know, those who you would esteem as highly wealthy or prominent in their time. But he found Mary. It says, born of a woman. So he sent his son as just a baby. And, you know, you kids will know, like, in order to get ahead, you must go back. The way that God doesn't think the way that mankind would think, the way that seems right to a man. In order to be the greatest, you have to become the least. To be lifted up, to become something, you have to be humbled. Because that's just the way it is in the kingdom. The first is the last. Philippians 2:6, one of my favorite scriptures right here. Philippians 2:6 says this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, this is actually starting in 3, or empty pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. It's the way of love. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, verse 6, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to cling to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. I hope we never forget the man of Jesus. Jesus the man, right? All throughout the scriptures, it talks about the man, in Acts, when they're giving testimony of Jesus, it's this man, Jesus, who you crucified. It was the man, and that was after his resurrection, still highlighting the fact that he was a man. He called himself the Son of Man. He became as a man. He became in appearance as a man, in the form of a man. And we can't forget that, because it's just so important, because if we always think of him as God and as godly and as a son of God, which he was, we forget that his first sacrifice that he made, which was to drop everything, empty himself, and come down and be, like, so vulnerable to death and sin. He was born under sin and under death, because a man messed it up, and now a man, it had to come through a man to fix it, right? And so that gave him that power to be able to overcome the grave, and now, in turn, be able to have us overcome the grave. See, because if he wasn't a man, if everything that Jesus did, if he did it only as a son of God and not as a man, with the same limitations that you had, then we wouldn't have that ability to do what he says to do. But since he was a man, he says, go and do likewise. So if we believe that he was fully man at the time of his walk on earth, then we believe that what he did was for example for us as men and women of God to do. Does that make sense? It's like a really important thing to get. We just can't forget how vulnerable he made himself for us. What a savior. And the rest of Philippians 2, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's amazing. So it says, born under law. I'm still in Galatians 4. Born under law. Do you know that the law says that if you sin, you die? That's, in essence, that's the law of sin and death, right? You sin, you don't get away with it. It's punishment, and punishment is separation from God, and separation from God is death, period. So Jesus, being born under death, he was able to, so he succumbed to death. So Jesus was a man, and then the enemy took him out. So the law says that if you sin, you die, right? Jesus didn't sin at all, and he died. Oops. Big mistake, because that was the trap. That was the plan that God had set for all time, so that he can enter that, so he can enter the death realm himself on our behalf now, right? Because the laws dictate that whatever is taken from you illegally, you have to give back. And it's retribution. It's several times over. So what he did was he died, but it didn't stop there. When all heaven broke loose in hell, so at, wow, so good. After the third day, the Holy Spirit went down there, and it was he busted in, man. I would hate to be in hell. Well, I'd hate to be in hell anyway. So let's think of something else. They need to make a movie about this, because the Spirit of God, that resurrection power, Spirit going down into the depths of hell, into the depths of the earth where people were held captive, and freeing Jesus and sending him up. That had to be glorious, man. I would hate to see the face of the enemy at that point, or perhaps I would. But it was it's no joke. And because of that, he was able to attain and grab the keys of heaven, right? And Hades. So the keys of hell, all authority. He came back and said, all authority has been given to me. And then he says, go and make disciples, right? So that same authority he gives to us, that exousia, that authority. Amen. It's so good. Okay, so sin and death. Sin, you die. Jesus didn't sin. He died anyway. That means that death couldn't hold him down. And since death couldn't hold him down, he raised again. Okay. Let's just keep moving here, or else it's going to pop on me, and it's going to be gone indefinitely. Okay, so born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. We were under that same law. In 2 Corinthians 5, can we go there? Actually, I'm going to go to Romans 8:2 real quick, just to spell this out well. It's one of my favorites. I just said that about the last one. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. Do you guys read this thing? It's so good. So Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. How many of us believe that in everyday life? Believe it. Really. It's amazing. Because the law of the Spirit of life set me free. There has to be some implications. There has to be some amazing things that happen because of that. Some good consequences that come out of that. And I'm all for it. So we might, and here's the deal, guys, and this is where it really comes down to. This is his work. So that we might receive adoption as sons. God gave his son so he can receive back his sons and daughters. I've said this before, I'll say it again so many times. Jesus, the point of the cross was not just to expose my sin. Actually, it wasn't to expose my sin at all. That was the whole point of the law. The point of the cross was to expose and reveal my value, because someone said that, wow, I must be extremely valuable, right? He called me valuable. There was a price that he paid for me, and that price was the greatest price of all. That's his blood shed for me. So now that I can come back into sonship. I was lost. I was a lost son. This is throughout, through and through the New Testament. I was a lost son, and he had to get me back. And there was that separation, and he sent his son, his one and only son, so he could bring many sons to glory, back into glory, it says in Hebrews. Yeah. Wow. Woo! Thank you, Lord. So we're gonna end it there. Lord, we thank you so much for just so much to be joyful for. And Lord, I just pray that just this gospel, this glorious gospel, this inheritance would really just sink into us as a community, as a family, as a group, Lord. I pray that we would truly make the most of what this is, God. And truly ask the question, if the Lord would pay such a great price for my life, then wow, what should my life look like? What does this mean for my life every day? Because Lord, I know that's more than just a confession. It's a life, God. So we enter into your life thankfully, Lord. We thank you for this Christmas. We thank you for everything that it stands for, Lord. I thank you for everyday Christmas. And Awesome. Okay, Lord, and I thank you for just the thing that you're birthing. Did you guys know that Mary was such an amazing example of a Christian? Because God said, I'm gonna put something in you. Like, my Holy Spirit is gonna overshadow you and come into you and produce something amazing. So in the same way, I can like Mary, because Mary grabbed a hold of the promise by faith, just like all those forerunners that grabbed a hold of the promise by faith. We saw what happened to Zechariah, and the angel like literally had to shut his mouth. He said he couldn't have him spoil anything. Like it just had to go the way that it had to go. Mary said, like, as soon as she was told that, like, the Holy Spirit was going to make her pregnant, like, guys, that's a pretty big deal. That's, like, not science or what we would think of science, right? Even though it can be. But she was like, let it be so. Like, let it be so. And she believed the Lord, and this thing was inside of her as a seed. And then she gave birth to the Son of God. So for us, may we grab a hold of the Holy Spirit and that promise, that word of faith that goes into us and can come out of us, right? Like we hold it, we tend to it, and then someday we release it. So we can pray that, Lord, like whatever I release, whatever I give birth to, let it look like you. Yes. Right? So speaking of this, I know this was short, but if you are here and this is like there's something just reaching into your heart right now, like there's something pulling on you, I promise you that's the Holy Spirit. And I don't know, like, if there's anyone who doesn't know the Lord in this intimate way. Like, you don't feel like, wow, like, that's an amazing thing. I can be a son of God because of Jesus, and I can know God, like, know him. The Bible says eternal life is to know God. That's amazing. So it's not just knowing where you're going. It, like, and maybe you're here, like, maybe you've said the sinner's prayer, but you're like, I don't feel like something has really changed and transformed in my life. I promise you, there's a seed in you, and there's something amazing, but there is more. So I want to invite you up. We're not big on altar calls every time, but like, yeah, we just got that like kind of movement in the Spirit right now. So whether you want to receive Jesus for the first time, okay, and pray and just give your life to him, it's the most amazing thing you could ever do. Or you just feel like, hey, there's got to be more. I want to go deeper. Lord, show me what it looks like to really be this, a son or a daughter of you. Then we invite you up. So, and we'd love to pray for you. And really anything else, just come on up. And I think we're gonna end with that. We good?
Amen. We're good.
Was there something after?
No, just if you brought cookies, just fellowship over some snacks.
Yeah, especially
a little bit of time just to say.